Zena, I'll always love you.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Zena Newberry's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who've been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 141. This podcast show is for all the Zena Newberry subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Well, hello everyone, welcome back to another XNU show. I hope everyone is doing well. We are holding our own over here. And I'll go into more detail about that later. But let's rock into the show and get a lot of the things out of the way. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to Brenda once again for the music suggestion. We have Amanda Marshall, I Believe in You. And into the book review, over at Boldstroke Books, we have Ghosts of Winter by Rebecca S. Buck. And of course, I'll have a link on my show notes. And this one is not expected to release until April 18th, so go on over to Boldstroke Books and click on the link on my show and you'll be able to read the description. But I'll read it to you here. Can Ross Wynn, who has lost everything she thought defined her, find her true life and her true love, surrounded by the lingering history of the once grand Winter Manor? When Ross unexpectedly inherits Winter Manor, on the condition that she oversee the restoration of the remote and dilapidated house, it seems a perfect place for her to retreat from her recently failed relationship, the death of her mother, and the loss of her job. But Winter Manor is not entirely at rest. The echoes of the past reach forward into the present, and Ross's life is perceptibly shaped by the lives and loves of the people who inhabited those rooms and corridors in the centuries before her. Then Anna arrives. The architect, with her designer clothes, hot car, and an air of supreme professionalism, is at first an unwelcome, if necessary, intrusion. But as Ross learns Anna's truths, she finds solace from her past losses in their developing intimacy. And when their love is threatened, Ross must decide whether her own ghost will forever define her, or if she can embrace her life for what it is, past, present, and future. So once again, check it over at Boldstroke Books by clicking on my link, and it'll take you straight to the site. And in this week's recommendation of the movie, we have La Cucina. And I'll have a link on my blogspot, of course, with the description where you can have a look at the pictures of it. And the description goes like this. Three women in their 30s struggle with love life, all while cooking and eating in various kitchens in an apartment complex that resembles a Tuscan villa. Somewhere in Hollywood, these women are cooking, or not, and discussing their and others' relationships. Lily, Christina Hendricks, a vivacious redhead, is an aspiring writer. Shelley, Leisha Haley, is a pregnant wife with a dull husband and raging hormones. Jude, Rachel Hunter, is a fabulous cook and very sensible lesbian. Shelley whines to Jude throughout the film about her current unpleasant situation, being pregnant and feeling unattractive. Haley's wholesome looks are played to advantage as plain Jane mother-to-be. Hunter's natural beauty shines in a pair of worn jeans and sneakers. Partially covered by an apron, her tan cleavage tumbles out of a V-neck t-shirt, and she quite deftly dishes up practical advice to Haley's, Shelley, while cooking a sumptuous meal for her lover, who she knows is cheating. Wining and dining downstairs, Lily flirts, playfully spars, and sips two bottles of wine together with Michael, a dashing photojournalist, 17 years her senior. She had been dating for less than 2 weeks. Michael shows her how to make a caprese salad from scratch, while they discuss what they don't want and want from a relationship. Della Media steals those scenes with his realistic philosophy about love and man-of-the-world presence. Sexy and presumptuous, Hunter is the very attractive and intelligent rock of this female family. However, I wasn't sure whether Haley's Shelley was flirting, being coy, or just plain naive when she was lauding Jews' perfect relationship and lesbians in general as being more satisfied than having easier partners, particularly with the backstory of Jews' cheating lover. And the reviewer gives this a 4-star rating. The scenery is pleasant in Italian Cali style. The food is mostly divine, and the wine flows along the three women and one man's feelings. La Cucina made me want to grab a bottle of Chianti and start cooking. So, once again, I'll have a link.
You snapped, haven't you?
Okay, the quotes for this week, things that make you go, Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. When everything's coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. For sale, parachute. Used only once, never opened. Small stain. If everything seems to be going well, you have obviously overlooked something. And when I'm not in my right mind, my left mind gets pretty crowded. And finally, everyone has a photographic memory. Some just don't have film.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, in the latest update regarding the World Wide Web, we're going to continue with the information that we've got out there. We don't have anything over at Rock, so she hasn't updated her site yet. So we're going to skip over that. And then over at the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, Lucy sent on her blog that she says, "Hi all, I'm on my way to New York to publicize Gods of the Arena. I've always a mission for me to get frocks together for publicity. I'm much happier getting up at 5 in the morning and being told what I'm wearing, saying, and doing. A life of zero control. That's what I do best. I have lots of things on the boil this hiatus. Quite a few offers to guest on shows. It's becoming a juggle. Hope you all had a happy new year. Let's make the best this year. Love, Lucy." And then over at AUSXIP, they have a news flash that Star's press release has given the information that the Australian actor Liam McIntyre is set to star in Spartacus the second season. And we also have Lucy's information regarding her Gods of the Arena interviews on some of the shows. So check it on out over at AUSXIP.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Well, I've got to say, I agree with that sentiment entirely. I'll be totally thrilled. Me, myself, and I are just having a really crappy day today, but we have those ones in a 24-hour period. But we've got to say thanks to everybody who's emailed regarding their concerns for what's been happening over here in Australia with the floods. I thank God above that my partner and I didn't have to succumb to any of the floods. They didn't reach us. The worst we had was the water across the street, the river, coming up over the embankment and just coming up to the road. But aside from that, we didn't have any major problems. The only issues we have now is to contend with the aftermath, which is the roof and the fencing and stuff. But for those people who have lost their homes in it, our hearts go out to them. For those people who have lost family and friends, our hearts go out to them. And the work has only begun. Now it's the aftermath, the cleaning up, and also the struggling of what we have to contend with, which is loss of services, loss, higher price and increase for fuel and food stock. So, it's going to be a interesting year, to say the least. But once again, we say thank God to those who didn't have to lose family and friends, and it could have been a lot worse. So we're going to continue on. Positive note, we're heading towards the end of the show. We're already in set for the next storyline that I've got signed up. I've got an author who's given me permission to use, I've got actually two authors who's giving me permission to use some of their stories, so that's a good thing, and I'm looking for two other ones for after that, so it's all good. And also, I'm going to give you a kind of a tease, maybe I'll announce it, but you'll have to wait till the after the show to hear it. So, let's get into it.
Come and get
me. Ab Initio by Cruz, Part 19. Rain's flight was long and brutally fretful, as she couldn't shake her worried thoughts of Lark. She had hoped that taking this supposed desk job, she would be away from Lark less than she was before. Oh, there was a difference with her traveling. A minute won, and she grew very tired of it, particularly seeing the pain and terror in Lark's eyes before she left. If there wouldn't have been a hit put out on them, she would not be traveling here, and would be home with Lark. She couldn't wait to nail the bitch and reminded herself to make sure the woman pays for her betrayal. This is it. My last assignment. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Rain thought, her fear consuming her. She felt the same way she did the day she met with the director to resign. She lost it and didn't want it anymore. She loved being a Secret Service agent, but she loved Lark and their child more. And no matter what kind of assignment they would offer her, even though they promised she wouldn't have to travel so much, she would still have to do it, and she no longer wanted that. She should have quit a long time ago, and she shouldn't have made this trip. She seriously regretted her decision to do so. Rain flipped on her laptop and began to compose her resignation letter. The only traveling she would do was with Lark and their child. She smiled widely, her heart aflutter each time she looked at the sonogram picture of their child that she had attached to her laptop. Right beside the picture of Lark, she had there too. She finished her letter and sent it without hesitation or regret, and traced the tiny form in the picture with her finger, smiling proudly. She removed the picture from her computer and slipped it in her coat pocket, along with Lark's, close to her heart, and hooked her seatbelt when the pilot announced that they were making their approach to the airport. It was too late to order the pilot back home. The thought crossed Rain's mind more than once during the flight. Rain stepped off the jet and descended the stairs in a hurry, eager to get to work and get home. She wanted to get there, meet her contact, pick up the scumbag, and get the hell out of the country. She approached the car waiting to pick her up and stopped in her tracks when she caught a glimpse of a contact that stepped out of the car. Rain's demeanor turned sour in a hurry, and she shifted her bags with uneasiness, trying to keep from tearing a contact's head off. "Rain, I had no idea you were the one I would be dealing with on this case until I got here a few minutes ago."
"Danielle, I wouldn't fucking put it past you for setting this shit up!"
Rain angrily spat, walking past her towards the car as she threw the bag into the trunk of the car.
"Agent Donovan, I presume?"
The man cheerfully greeted, who opened the trunk for her, and held out his hand to shake hers.
"You presume correctly, Agent?"
Rain sarcastically asked, shaking his hand.
"Oh, sorry, Agent Huard. I've heard a lot about your heroics in the agency."
"Yeah, well, don't believe everything you hear,"
she answered, agitated, and sat in the car, slamming the door behind her.
"Is she always this gruff?"
he asked Danielle, surprising at her demeanor, considering how he heard she was such a cordial person, despite her tough demeanor.
"No, only around me,"
Danielle regretfully answered and opened the door, sitting in the passenger's side of the car.
"Wait until Lark hears about this. She's gonna freak,"
Rain thought, her anger boiling at the sight of Danielle. Well, my love was right when she said she had a bad feeling about this trip. She shook her head in disbelief.
"Listen, Rain, just wanted to apologize,"
Danielle hesitantly stammered, looking over her shoulder at Rain, who interrupted her.
"Save it for someone who gives a flying fuck, Danielle. Only speak to me about this case. Is that clear?"
Rain spat out fiercely, with hate in her blue eyes.
"Crystal,"
Danielle sarcastically answered, and turned back around, regretful at what she had done to Rain. She never wanted to see the hate in those blue eyes, but that's exactly what she got. She handed the file and the suspect to Rain, who snatched it from her hands before looking at it. Agent Huard listened and watched to the obvious hatred from Rain and Danielle, and figured it was best to keep his mouth shut. He definitely didn't want to ruffle the tall and very dangerous and very angry Agent Donovan's feathers. That's for sure.
"You'll be happy to know that we have nailed the suspect, and the papers for extradition are being reviewed by the magistrate as we speak."
"That's the best news I've heard all day,"
Rain answered, perusing the paperwork before her.
"Very good news. That means I get the hell out of here sooner than I thought."
She inwardly chuckled and smiled at the thought of getting home sooner.
"I trust that you're taking me to the courthouse,"
Rain asked, peering up from her paperwork at Agent Huard, looked at her through the rearview mirror.
"I thought you might like to get to the hotel and rest up before we headed to the courthouse."
"Well, Agent, you thought wrong. Take me to the courthouse. I want to get this over with. Pronto!"
She angrily answered and looked back down at the paperwork as the agent nervously gulped the lump in his throat and fulfilled his orders. Rain spent the majority of the day vehemently stressing a point on various occasions as to how imperative it was for the prisoner to be extradited back to the United States, which the magistrate fought her tooth and nail on. He dismissed her from his chambers, informing her he would look over the paperwork and get back to her the following day regarding his decision. Rain's mood had turned more foul by the fact that the stupid judge wouldn't budge and sign the paperwork. They all headed to the hotel for the remainder of the evening.
Her attitude turned worse when she found out they would all be sharing the same hotel suite.
Ward, get on the horn and get everything set up for when the judge signs the paperwork so we can hightail it out of here.
Rain ordered as she sat down on the couch, punching in the numbers on her cell phone, and rested her forearms on her legs, waiting for the ring.
What are you in such a hurry to get back for?
Danielle asked with a laugh, in an attempt to lighten the mood.
None of your business,
Rain angrily retorted, flashing her a hateful look, and glanced down at the phone when she heard Lark's angelic voice on the other end.
Hey, baby,
she affectionately replied, her demeanor instantly changing.
Rain, I'm so glad you got there safely, Lark excitedly exclaimed, with a sigh of relief. I've been worried sick.
Are you okay? How are you feeling?
Rain asked, concerned, and glanced to see Danielle sitting in the chair across from her, reading a magazine. She stood up and walked to the other side of the suite for privacy.
I'm okay, I guess,
Lark answered, not committing.
What is it? Is the baby all right?
She asked, her concern growing.
Don't worry, the baby and I are fine. I guess I just worried myself sick. Honey, I hate us being apart,
Lark admitted and began to cry.
Me too, honey. It's not for much longer, though. We have the prisoner in custody, and all we are waiting for now is the magistrate to stop being a prick and release her.
Rain explained, still angry over the magistrate's reluctance to sign the paperwork.
Why is he being so difficult?
Lark inquired.
I have no idea,
Rain answered, exasperated by the magistrate's reluctance to help.
My parents are on vacation there. Maybe my dad could put a little pressure on him and make him see it your way,
Lark chuckled.
Yeah, that might work and will get me home quicker,
Rain excitedly replied.
Great, I'll give him a call and set everything up for you, sexy,
Lark laughingly replied and blushed as if Rain was standing before her.
Oh, you are so incredibly sweet to me, my love, and I thank you profusely,
Rain chuckled.
Let me know what you find out from Dad.
Lark, you should know that my contact here is Danielle. Rain reluctantly and softly replied, holding the phone away from her ear when she heard Lark shout very loudly. She hated to have to tell her, but she didn't want her to find out from some other person.
What? What are you doing with her? How could you do this?
Her heart raced and the anger coursed through her. She felt sick to her stomach and the tears welled in her eyes.
Lark, no, hold on.
Rain attempted to calm her furious lover down. It wasn't working.
How could you not have known?
She accusatorily asked in disbelief.
It was never revealed to me, Lark.
Is she there now?
Yes. We're all stuck in the same suite together,
Rain answered, pulling the phone away from her ear in anticipation of the next loud comment.
How in the fucking hell could you stay there with her?
Lark angrily shouted.
Lark, I don't have a choice. There's nothing else available. Trust me. You know I hate this as much as you do,
Rain answered, hearing no response.
Lark, are you there?
Lark!
Rain shouted and heard nothing but static. She quickly redialed the number and got a busy signal every time she tried. She tried again, and her cell phone went dead.
Fuck!
She spat, frustrated and angry that she couldn't get through.
Damn piece of shit!
She replied and tossed the phone across the room. She regretted what she did to the phone when she heard it smash into pieces when it hit the wall. She quickly padded across the room and switched phones when Agent Huard was off the hotel phone and had no luck with the other one. Rain dialed the operator and informed her there was trouble on the line and would report the problem.
Fuck!
Rain exclaimed in frustration and dialed Lark's cell phone, which was turned off. Rain phoned Lark's parents, hoping local calls were not affected. She was relieved that they weren't, and the congressman agreed to meet them in the morning to see what he could do to help speed up the process. Rain told him what happened with Lark, and he assured he would try to call her to see if he could contact her, as Rain was worried something might have happened to her. He told her he would call her right back. She thanked him and clicked the phone off. She paced back and forth, chewing nervous on her lip, and hoped that nothing had happened to Lark. The wait seemed as if it was an eternity, as she anxiously paced back and forth, waiting for the call. After 5 minutes of waiting, the congressman phoned her.
Hi, honey. I couldn't get through her either. I'll keep trying, and hopefully I'll get through later. As soon as I talk to her, I'll call you.
He reassuringly informed her.
Damn.
Rain disgustingly thought.
All right, thanks. I'll try to get through to her one way or another, and I'll see you both at the courthouse tomorrow morning. Let's hope we can get the matter resolved and be back home late tomorrow.
She hopefully answered and hung up the phone. She looked up at Agent Horrid and Danielle, who sat in disbelief at her recent outburst, and when her eyes caught theirs, they quickly looked away.
Sorry, bad phone connection. Congressman Morgan is here on vacation and has agreed to help meet us, and he can help us tomorrow at the courthouse to see if he can encourage the magistrate to reconsider his position on delaying the extradition. Let's hope he can. She informed them, embarrassed by her reaction.
Hey, that's great. Any help to get this thing going is a welcome blessing to me.
Agent Horde enthusiastically smiled and headed towards the refrigerator for a drink. Danielle noted the disdain in Rain's look and thought it was best to leave the room until she calmed down. Rain plopped herself on the couch and leaned her head back against a pillow. She rubbed her temples that pounded from the headache she had. I can't believe she got so pissed off at me. Thought she trusted me. Rain thought in disbelief in regards to Lark's reaction. I shouldn't be surprised. I was pissed too when I saw Danielle. Rain sat up quickly when it dawned on her to send Lark an email. She grabbed the laptop and quickly hooked it up to her composer and email. Rain explained the phone problems she was having and that she would be home very soon to see her. She included some mushy, yet heartfelt sentiments that she knew Lark would love and hit the send button. She was happy that the email made it through. She hoped Lark would check it very soon. She also sent an electronic card and hit the send button after previewing it. Rain turned the computer off, smiling from the cute card she sent Lark, and wished she was home holding her. I'll be there soon, my love. Soon. Rain sent out silently, as if Lark could hear her and lay back on the couch, as her headache finally began to subside. She was happy that Danielle found something else to occupy herself with in another room, as she just couldn't stand to be near the woman. She pushed the negative thoughts of Danielle out of her head, and instead thought of her beautiful partner and how happy they were, not with one another, and in anticipation of their first child. Rain closed her eyes, picturing Lark with a radiant smile, and how it made her feel so complete, so wonderful, and so loved. She quickly fell asleep with that wondrous woman on her mind. Danielle entered the room and looked at Rain, who slept soundly. I've got to have her. All I need is another chance to convince her without Lark interfering. Danielle thought, and smiled as she pulled the plug for the phone out, just enough for it not to work, and not to alert someone if they looked that it was unplugged. She had to do something to ensure that Lark didn't call during the night, and then Rain would not be able to talk to her the next day. I've got to make her see that we're meant to be together. Danielle maniacally thought with an evil grin. She wasn't sure what her plan would be to get Rain back, but she would think of something. All she needed was Lark to doubt Rain's devotion to her. Lark frantically tried to get in touch with Rain, but was unsuccessful as the operator informed her there was a problem with the international phone lines due to bad weather in the area, and the problem had been reported. She suggested that Lark call back later. Damn it! What was I thinking about yelling at her? Lark chastised herself, wearing a hole in the carpet from her pacing. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry, Lark tearfully replied, hoping in some way that Rain could hear her. She was snapped out of her frantic pacing by the jubble that rang incessantly. She opened the door to find an extremely worried mother-in-law standing before her. Lark, what's going on? I've been ringing the bell and you have the chain lock on, and I couldn't get in with my key. Why are you crying? Is something wrong with the baby? She desperately fired off the questions, not giving Lark a chance to answer. Oh, Mom! I yelled at Rain over the phone and I can't get in touch with her now. Lark answered, engulfing Marie in a hug, and began to cry hard as she entered the house. It's okay, Lark. I'm sure she isn't mad at you. There's no reason to be upset. Maria soothingly answered, trying to reassure the distraught woman. She probably isn't, but I just have this awful feeling that something terrible is going to happen. I want to talk to her. I need to tell her I love her, Lark answered, her tears falling faster as Maria broke the hug and began to wipe them away. Honey, she knows you love her. Now come on, you're going to give my grandbaby an ulcer with all this worrying you're doing. Maria answered, reassuringly, and put her arm around Lark's back, leading her towards her bedroom. Lay down and calm yourself while I get you some warm milk to settle you. She lovingly smiled and comfortably patted Lark's arm. Mother, I hate warm milk. Lark protested and climbed into bed. I know, but my grandbaby needs it, so instead of tea, humor this old lady and try to stomach the milk. She warmly smiled before exiting the room. Lark settled in the bed, comfortably positioning herself against the pillows, feeling much better. She glanced sideways and stared at the picture of Rain on her nightstand. One of her favorites, with her laying prone with her head turned to the side, intently staring at the camera. She picked it up smiling and held it before her lovingly, looking into blue eyes that looked back at her.
Lark wished she was looking into the eyes that she adored so much in person. She lightly traced her fingers down Rain's strong jawline, then across her lips and thought about how much she loved her. She laid the picture face down against her heart and wiped the first tears that fell as she looked up at the well-sized picture of her laying on top of Rain from their photo shoot. She felt more at ease staring into the sexy blue eyes of the woman she loved more than life itself, and her revelry was halted when Maria brought in the warm milk. "Oh, yum," she sarcastically thought when she caught sight of it. "Here, sweetheart," Maria replied with a warm smile and handed Lark the hot beverage, sitting next to her on the bed. Lark was reluctant to sip the milk, knowing full well she wouldn't like it. She hated cold milk, and the thought of warm milk just plain gross, but she knew there was no getting out of this one with Maria being so persistent about it. Of course, it was also for the baby, so that helped. Lark was surprised that she actually liked it. Well, it probably had something to do with the strawberry flavoring it.
"It's not too bad," Lark mused with a smile and took another sip. "I figured you would. It was the only way I could get Rain to drink it when she was a kid,"
Maria answered, smiling at the fun memory.
"Oh, how she hated milk and wearing dresses."
Maria chuckled, remembering the memory chimes she tried to get her to wear them.
"Really?" "Oh, yeah. Her father and I used to fight with her to put on a dress. She would pitch a fit about them and would cry when we made her wear them."
Maria laughed and shook her head.
"Why'd you make her wear them, then?" Lark asked, chuckling. "She looked so damn adorable in them. We finally decided that it was causing her too much stress, and we bargained with her. The only time she had to wear one was our family Easter dinners."
Maria laughed, shaking her head at Rain's insistence not to wear them.
"You mean Rain actually bargained with something like that?"
Lark asked in disbelief, knowing how much Rain hated to wear a dress.
"Yeah, but the little shit went out and wore the dresses only once after that for the next Easter."
Maria snickered at the fond memory of her daughter.
"How'd she manage that?"
Lark asked with a chuckle, and loved talking about one of her favorite subjects, Rain.
"Well, she butted up her father, who took her side, of course, and she didn't have to wear them after that. She always been Daddy Little's girl, and has gotten away with a lot because my husband just can't say it or no to her,"
Maria laughingly informed Lark, who joined her.
"Yes, she is definitely a Daddy Little girl, and I think she's Mommy's Little girl as well,"
Lark answered, flashing a mischievous smile towards the older version of Rain. Maria laughed and looked down, slightly embarrassed.
"Yeah, she is, along with her two brothers,"
Maria conceded with a chuckle.
"Let's hope your baby doesn't have her disdain for beautiful dresses if it's a girl."
Maria laughed and rubbed Lark's belly. Lark laughed and yawned.
"Oh, excuse me. Well, I don't want to force the issue on either Rain or the baby if it's a little girl, but I'm hoping to get the baby into a dress if it's a girl,"
Lark answered, yawning again.
"I'm so tired."
"It's the milk. I told you it would make you feel better." Maria smiled and pulled the covers up to Lark.
"Now go to sleep.
I'll be visiting with my youngest son in the next room if you need me. I'll see you in the morning."
"Thanks, Mom. I feel a lot better,"
Lark answered thankfully, still clutching the picture of Rain to her heart.
"Good night, sweetie,"
Maria warmly replied, and kissed Lark's forehead before walking to the door and turning the light off. She smiled gratefully that her daughter had chosen such a wonderful and delightful woman to spend the rest of her life with. Maria had worried terribly about them during their separation, and had hoped that one day they would be together. They had to get back together, she remembered telling her husband, where they feared Rain would totally withdraw herself from life completely. Maria gently closed the door and headed off to find her son. She remembered the hurt, pain, and betrayal she saw in Ray's eyes at the time. She desperately wanted to take that pain away from Rain, with no luck in doing so. Her daughter was too damn stubborn, a trait she wished she had never passed on to her. She was happy now that everything had worked out, and they were more deeply in love than ever. Maria smiled at how she never seen Rain so happy. The way Rain's face lights up at the mention of Lark or the baby just fills her heart with so much joy and happiness.
"Now if I could just get that incurable younger son of mine to find a woman like Lark or Holly, my job as a mother will be complete,"
she thought with a chuckle, and entered the family room to see her son sprawled out on the couch, watching sports with his boxer shorts on and socks.
"Oh, this one's going to be difficult to match up with someone,"
she chuckled, shaking her head, and sat next to him on the couch, sitting in to watch the football game. Rain woke earlier than everybody else, eager to get their prisoner and get back home to begin a new chapter in her life with Lark and their child. She showered and dressed, wondering why she had been so selfish before by not ever considering a career change. Maybe if she hadn't been so stubborn,
Lark and her would have never separated before. But that was then, and this is now. She didn't have second thoughts about their impending resignation with the Secret Service that would take effect as soon as she returned from this assignment. The only thing she wanted to do was spend time with Lark and their child. Child, Rain softly replied, smiling from the pride and joy she felt inside her, that her and Lark would finally have a child in their life. I've got to get home. Soon. Now. Rain eagerly thought.
Let's go, you two. Up and at 'em.
She shouted, waking the other two, who jumped up, still half asleep. She shook her head disgustedly as she examined her phone. Well, the pieces of it. You did it up good with that damn hothead temper this time, Rain. This one will come back to bite you in the ass, guaranteed. She admonished herself and put the damaged phone in her computer case. It's still early, Danielle whiningly protested, rubbing the sleep out of her eyes and climbed out of the recliner she fell asleep in. Agent Horde had offered her the bed, but she gave him the excuse that she had some work to do and would be up late for him to take the bed. Yeah. Her work was staring at Rain the majority of the night, who had fallen asleep on the couch. She avenged her life with Rain, and how she would separate her from Lark, and fell asleep with that thought.
Yeah. The earlier we start, the quicker I get home. Let's go.
Rain tersely answered, gathering her belongings as the fellow agents scrambled to get themselves ready to join her. Danielle knew that Rain would be eager to call Lark, and just didn't want that to happen. She had a sick hope that Rain would magically fall for her on the way home, especially with Lark out of sight, out of mind. She picked up the receiver to the phone and clicked the button of the phone. Damn! My mom is going to be pissed that I didn't get in touch with her. Danielle replied, playing it off as the phone lines were still down.
You would think they would have fixed that problem by now.
Agent Horde answered as they gathered their belongings and followed Rain out. Damn phones. I'll have to call her later. Rain angrily thought and headed for the door. Agent Horde hurriedly checked them out of the hotel, as Rain waited by the car after loading luggage in there for the stragglers, who ran out of the building in a scramble to join her.
What's so freaking important that we have to rush home for?
Danielle asked, agitated as she had early put her coat on, approaching the car.
My entire life!
Rain answered, as the seriousness in her tone consumed her face before sitting in the car and settling herself. Danielle was dumbfounded and felt a throbbing hurt that she wasn't part of that life. Rain's. She climbed in the car and sat in silence, wondering what it must be like to be Lark and to have someone like Rain in her life. Must be wonderful. She answered her own question and glanced over her shoulder at Rain, who stared aimlessly out the window. Her thoughts were far away and certainly not unpresent. If I hadn't decided to be honest with her, I would be with Rain right now. Danielle sadly thought, regretting her decision to tell Rain she set Lark up. She was sure that she would be with Rain if she hadn't confessed her. Maybe she still had a chance. She hoped. Agent Horde parked the car as everyone quickly exited. Rain urgently scaled the stairs to the courthouse and smiled when she saw Congressman Morgan and his wife standing just inside waiting for them.
Hey, Mom.
Sir?
She smiled and hugged Lark's mother before shaking the congressman's hand.
I see you two are eager to get an early start, too. She chuckled.
Wait. You haven't heard?
Julie asked, surprised.
No, what? Is something wrong with Lark?
She worried, yes.
She's having labor pains,
Julie answered, informing Rain, whose face blenched from the news.
Shit! I knew I should have called last night. We've got to hurry. I've got to get back. Is she okay?
She nervously asked and felt her heart race as sweat beaded on her forehead.
There's no need to get upset. It could be false labor pains, and if they aren't, it's possible that she'll be in labor for quite some time.
Julia smiled, attempting to reassure Rain.
Just the same. I spoke with the magistrate earlier, and your prison is about to be released.
The congressman explained with a proud smile that he would soon be a grandfather.
Oh, you are awesome. Let's get this bitch and get the hell out of here.
Rain hurriedly replied and headed off.
Oh, can I use your cell phone?
She asked the congressman and took it when he offered it to her. She quickly dialed the number for Lark's cell phone and heard the dreaded message that the cellular customer was not available.
Damn! What does that woman even bother having phone if she never turns it on?
She asked, aggravated.
I've got to go. Can you keep trying to get hold of her for an update, please?
Rain asked and turned to leave.
Will do, honey.
Julia called out with a smile.
Rain, we'll meet you at the airport and have the plane ready for our immediate departure.
The congressman shouted down the hall.
Excellent. We'll be right behind you.
Rain turned around and shouted back. Rain signed the appropriate paperwork for the extradition of the prisoner as Danielle and Agent Horde escorted the prisoner to where Rain was located. Rain watched as the prisoner struggled to walk with the shackles on her feet and hands. Rain's anger mounted as the woman drew closer.
Get comfortable in those. You'll be wearing them for quite some time.
Rain smirked arrogantly and grabbed the paperwork as they all headed for the car.
I should have just killed you myself instead of relying on men to do the job for me,
the woman snidely remarked.
Keep it up, and I just might shove your ass off the plane in mid-flight and explain that you attempted to escape.
Rain sarcastically answered and heard a low snicker from Howard and Danielle. Rain grabbed the shackles around her hands and forcefully pulled her behind her as the woman desperately tried to stay on her feet.
Get up!
Rain angrily shouted as the woman stumbled to her knees on the steps.
Give me a break!
She shouted back.
The hell I will! You are responsible for the death of one of my colleagues, and you threaten my family and me. I'll give you a break, all right? The broken bone!
Rain shouted and pulled her along as the woman finally regained a footing after a few steps.
Get in!
She maliciously ordered and opened the door to the car, shoving the prisoner in the car that slammed her head against the car and shouted in pain.
Oh, that had to hurt. Gotta watch your head.
Rain sarcastically laughed and sat in the car next to the prisoner.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
The woman angrily asked, looking at Rain, who was laughing.
Immensely,
she cockily answered.
We'll see how much you laugh when my lawyers hear about this treatment and nails your ass.
She arrogantly smiled.
What treatment? Can I help if you're clumsy and fell down the stairs?
Rain asked, glaring at the woman.
Did you two see this one getting any bad treatment?
Rain turned to Danielle and Agent Horde with a mischievous grin.
I don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Danielle added cockily and turned to face forward.
Me either.
Horde answered and started the car.
We'll see.
The prisoner angrily replied, as Rain maniacally laughed, infuriating the woman more. If she thought she cared, think again. It seemed as if the ride took forever to get to the airport, but it was just a matter of a few minutes. Rain couldn't keep her mind off of Lark and hoped that she would be okay, and that she wouldn't deliver the baby before she got there. She was relieved to see the airport off in the distance.
I won't be long now, baby. Just hang in there.
Rain silently pleaded to Lark.
I can't believe I created such a huge fuss when it was just false labor pains. I'm sorry, Mom. Jace.
Lark apologized, slightly embarrassed, and they entered the house.
Don't be. It's better that we check just in case, honey. But you should get in bed and try and get some rest like the doctor advised. You've been too stressed out about Rain being gone and not speaking to her, dear. She'll be fine. There's nothing to worry about with her. You know that. Her heart lies with one person, and that's you. Now stop stressing yourself out.
Maria smiled reassuringly and led her down the hall.
Good idea. I'm exhausted.
Lark smiled and yawned.
Thanks again.
She chuckled and climbed into bed.
Just shout if you need anything.
Jay smiled and held the door for his mother as she exited the room, closing it behind her.
I will, thanks.
Lark smiled and snuggled into a warm bed.
I hope Rain isn't too worried.
Lark wondered and tried to call her father, with no answer.
Hopefully they're on their way.
She thought hopeful and quickly fell asleep. Rain saw the disgusted look on the congressman's face when the car stopped next to him. She quickly exited the car and approached him.
What's going on? Is Lark all right?
She nervously asked.
I haven't heard anything from Lark yet, but I got some good news and some bad news. Give me the bad news first and get it over with.
Rain replied, planting her hands on her hips and braced herself for the bad news.
Well, all small planes are grounded. What? Why?
She angrily asked.
Bad weather. They don't feel it's safe enough for the small planes to leave right now, and they don't anticipate the weather getting any better for a few days, as they're expecting another front coming through right behind this one. The good news is, I pulled some strings and got us on a military transport plane. The problem is we will have to take a roundabout route home. They have to make a brief stop in Macedonia to drop off some relief supplies before heading home.
He explained, unenthusiastically.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. That is too close for comfort to the close proximity of Kosovo.
Rain answered, shaking her head in disbelief. Sometimes shit happens, and then it can come back to revisit you in a haunting manner.
Tell me about it. I don't like being that close either, considering the opposition would love a piece of me. But Macedonia is a safe haven with NATO still there, and will get us home sooner.
He explained, nervously fidgeting with the change in his pocket, that assured her that he was a hated man, and it wouldn't be pretty sad if the opposition got their hands on him.
I guess we'll have to take our chances. Thanks for arranging it. Is this a transport?
She nervously smiled, pointing to the plane and hoping that nothing happened. She had enough of opposition from the country and would just soon avoid it.
Yep, they're ready to pull out.
He answered and watched as Rain walk back to the car.
Here's our chariot back home.
Rain sarcastically replied and took her bags from Agent Horde, who held them out for her. Danielle led the prisoner toward the plane.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Agent Donovan.
Agent Horde smiled and held out his hand.
Oh, you're not going back with us?
Rain was surprised as she hoisted a back strap over her shoulder and shook his hand.
No, I have to finish up some loose ends here before I return to the States.
Damn, too bad you aren't going with us instead of Danielle. Rain answered with a chuckle and headed towards the plane.
Those two have some serious issues going on with them.
He replied, shaking his head as he slided into the driver's seat in the car before heading off. Rain entered the large plane and nodded as the officer acknowledged her. She stopped and checked out the seating arrangement. Danielle had the suspect shackled securely in her seat, and Rain wasn't pleased to find out that the only seat available was against the opposite wall next to Danielle. She contemplated sitting next to the prisoner and thought it might be a lesser of two evils, but decided she wanted to kill Danielle slightly less and settled in the small seat next to her. She buckled her seatbelt in anticipation of the flight. Their seats faced the opposite side of the military plane, with the cargo securely fastened down in the middle of the plane, just to the left of them. Rain noted the three airmen sitting directly across from the plane from her, next to the prisoner.
If she gives you a hard time, just shoot her.
Rain teasingly laughed, joined by the others as a large plane lumbered noisily down the runway. The flight was loud and the seats were horribly uncomfortable, but she was going home. I can't wait to see Lark, to feel her in my arms, to kiss her. She thought smilingly, which quickly turned down when she heard a loud clap and felt a thundering thud, followed by a loud explosion. She felt the plane shift violently as the plane tilted upward on her side.
What in the hell was that?
Danielle shouted in horror.
We've been struck by lightning, and the engines to the left are gone. We're going down!
One of the flight crew shouted as the plane shook violently.
Oh my God!
Julia Morgan shrieked horrified, clutching her husband's hand as everyone struggled to brace themselves in their seat. Rain felt the congressman grab her hand, and she turned to him.
Take care of my baby, my wife, and my grandchild, if anything happens to me.
He pleaded through fearfully green eyes. Rain was stunned and terrified at the reality that they might all die, and she'd never see Lark again.
Will,
where we're going to make it!
She stammered and shouted back to him as the noise was deafening, and the violent shake of the plane was harrowing. Her heart pounded with fear, as she'd never been so scared in her entire life. She glanced over at Danielle, who was violently ill, and put her hand on her back for comfort.
Hang in there!
She shouted, hoping they would make it out of this alive. She felt so helpless and out of control. She hated it that her destiny was in someone else's hands and not hers. She closed her eyes and saw Lark's face before her.
It isn't supposed to happen this way. Supposed to grow old with Lark and watch our children grow before our eyes, along with our grandchildren. Stop this! You're gonna make it! Fight! Fight!
She shouted inwardly, trying to renew her faith that she was not going to die in that plane crash. She heard the snap of the binders holding the cargo when her side of the plane shifted downward.
Fuck! The cargo is coming loose and we're gonna be crushed to death!
She shouted and unbuckled her seatbelt.
Rain! Get back in your seat!
The congressman shouted urgently and attempted to leave his seat but was stopped by his wife.
Please don't leave me!
She shouted terrified and clutched down to him. He tried to console his wife and to break free to help Rain, but she wouldn't let go of him. Rain struggled to reach the cargo to secure it and fell down before she reached it. The plane dipped to the opposite side and slammed her into the cargo.
Ow!
She shouted in pain as she hit the solid object. She scrambled to her feet and desperately tried to tie the binding down.
Danielle! Danielle, help me!
Rain shouted and looked at her, who sat with her head hanging down, unconscious. Rain searched the plane for help and saw that the cargo had really pinned the plane on the opposite side of her. If she didn't secure it, everyone on her side of the plane would all be crushed to death. Rain struggled mightily and mustered all her strength and willpower she could to tighten down the cargo. She was satisfied the cargo was secure and looked up just as the pilot shouted,
I can't hold it any longer!
The pilot announced as Rain felt a violent thump that shook everyone extremely hard and threw her to the ground. She struggled to stand and could see the treetops through the cockpit of the plane, and knew impact was very soon. The engines roared and the plane screamed as their descent seemed to speed up. They could hear the screech of the metal against the trees
and felt the thud each time the plane hit a tree. Rain dove into her seat and desperately grabbed hold for it to try and secure herself.
I love you, Julia!
Congressman Morgan shouted and clutched her hand tighter.
I love you, honey!
She shouted and cried harder. The plane's nose dipped down and Rain's grasp for the seat belt, hanging down, released, and she slid past her seat towards the front of the plane.
Rain!
The congressman shouted, turning his attention to her, as in desperate tried to grab her to no avail she passed by.
Rain!
He shouted anxiously.
Lark! I love you!
Rain fearfully shouted and felt another violent jolt of the plane as it dipped to her left before she slammed into the bulkhead at the front of the plane. The force nearly knocked the wind out of her and she gasped for air. She clutched the handle on the wall with a death grip in anticipation of the impact and felt a thud as the darkness consumed her.
Rain!
Lark shouted and sat up in her bed, her heart pounding in her chest from fear. She had been peacefully sleeping and saw a horrible image of Rain in distress, shouting her name. She sat still, trying to collect her breath and calm her racing heart. Lark's heart returned to its steady beat. She lay back, wondering why she had such a bad dream.
It's probably just my wild imagination.
Lark attempted to reassure herself. She rolled onto her side, cuddling Rain's pillow tightly to feel closer to her. She drew in a deep breath, inhaling her lover's scent that still lingered on the pillow. She couldn't shake the feeling she had and picked up the phone, quickly dialing Rail's cell phone number.
Damn, she must not have it on,
she thought frustrated and dialed her father's phone with no luck.
What is going on?
She asked, growing more concerned. Mark got out of bed and paced the room back and forth. There was no way she was going back to sleep and headed into the nursery that was adjacent to the bedroom suite. She looked around the room and picked up a stuffed bear that Rain had purchased for the baby. She adoringly smiled and cuddled the bear to her cheek as she lovingly rubbed her stomach as the baby moved. She sat in the rocking chair that was next to the window and looked out over the darkened ocean, slowly moving back and forth.
Where are you, my love? Are you all right?
She asked inwardly and hoped that Rain was fine. Lark attributed the bad dream to her negative thoughts that she had before Rain left, thinking they were projected into her dream. She closed her eyes and saw the woman she loved in her visions as she rocked back and forth. Maria entered the kitchen and began to make coffee. She was unable to shake the uneasy feeling she was having. It was unknown to her why she felt that way, but she had a deep feeling deep down inside that something was wrong. She was lost in her thoughts and heard the coffee maker gurgle, indicating the pot was ready. She poured her coffee and sipped the hot java, wondering why she had such a fitful night's sleep.
I just must be worried about Rain being so far away,
she thought and jumped out of her thoughts when she felt her husband's arms around her.
What's wrong, honey?
He asked, concerned when he felt the tension in his wife's body.
Oh, I'm having a really bad feeling that I just can't shake, John. When did you get up?
She asked, turning within his arms and held him tightly as she rested her head against his chest.
About 2 minutes ago.
He softly answered, holding his wife tightly and kissing her head. He had never seen his wife so upset about a feeling. It scared him.
Everything's fine, I'm sure.
He replied reassuringly. They heard the door shut and turned to see their oldest son there.
Mom? Dad?
Shane replied, breathless with worry.
What's going on?
He asked, clutching his hand.
What do you mean?
His father asked, growing more concerned from the worried looks on Shane and Holly's face.
I thought you might know. Jace called and told me he had some bad news and for us to meet him here.
I knew it. Something bad has happened.
Maria answered in tears, standing up with her husband's comforting arm still wrapped around her. Everyone turned towards the door when they heard it open to see a very distraught Jace enter.
What's going on, Jace? You're like you've been up all night partying. Did you get arrested or in an accident?
Maria asked, her tone turning angry from his haggard look.
Where's Lark?
He asked, approaching the group with bloodshot eyes and a face streaked from tears.
I'm right here,
Lark calmly answered, entering the room as everyone turned to look at her.
What's going on?
She asked, confused and growing more worried by the pensive looks on her faces. Jason held a deep breath and stood before Lark, placing hands on each of her shoulders.
I don't know how to put this delicately, but I wanted you to hear this from me rather than the news.
He began and started to cry. Lark's heart raced uncontrollably and the tears formed in her eyes.
Tell me what?
A buddy of mine at the White House contacted me by phone when I was on my way back here and told me that the plane that Rain and your parents were on crashed.
Oh my God!
Marie and John exclaimed horrified and began to cry.
No! No, that can't be!
Lark shouted in disbelief, shaking her head as she tried to pull away from Jace, who was afraid to let her go.
This is horrible!
Holly exclaimed, crying, and held Shane, who couldn't believe what he had heard.
No! This just isn't happening!
Lark refused to believe him and jerked away from him.
It's true. Unfortunately,
he cheerfully informed them.
They don't believe there are any survivors according to the reports they have received from the high-altitude reconnaissance plane that flew over the sea.
He softly added and cried harder.
No!
Lark screamed as her head pounded. Her heart raced uncontrollably, and her legs felt very weak. She shook uncontrollably, and she couldn't breathe. Her head was spinning. She desperately gasped for air before collapsing into darkness.
Lark!
Jace yelled and grabbed her before she fell. He scooped her in her arms and carried her towards the bedroom with Holly and Shane in tow.
Call the doctor and get her here,
Jace ordered, lying her on the bed.
Do doctors make house calls anymore?
Shane asked, panicked and unsure.
Maybe we should call 911,
he worriedly asked. Holly rushed to the bathroom for a washcloth and wet it, cold water, as Jace attempted to rouse Lark.
Here, put this on her,
she ordered, rushing back to the bed.
They're going to make house calls, Shay. Call her OBGYN and get her down here. Tell them she passed out and we're calling the paramedics.
Jace barked as he applied the washcloth to Lark's forehead.
Check her pulse, Jace,
Holly advised, which she did.
She's breathing, Holly,
he answered agitatedly and wiped her face with a washcloth, noticing her extreme pale color.
How is she?
Marie and John worriedly asked as they entered the room.
We're not sure,
Holly pensively answered as she looked back at them, then returned her attention to Lark.
The paramedics are on their way,
Shane answered, rushing back into the room with a phone in her hand.
I'm calling a doctor now.
Lark, hey honey, come on, wake up.
Jace softly replied, dapping the cold washcloth on her face.
There are the paramedics,
Holly shouted when she heard the sirens and headed to the front door.
What the hell?
She asked, confused and frightened, when Tom shoved past Holly with another agent behind him, guns drawn.
Check the house and get Lark!
He nervously shouted. Two other agents entered throughout the back door with their guns drawn. He rushed down the hall and pointed the gun at Shane, who exited the bedroom to find out Holly was shouting about.
What the hell are you doing?
Holly shouted, moved towards him, and headed down the hall.
Tom, what are you doing?
He nervously asked. Holding his hand up, the gun stared him down.
Shane, where's Lark? What's going on?
He asked, looking around to find out what was happening.
She passed out.
What? Why? Is she all right?
He worriedly asked, holstering his gun.
That's what we're trying to find out,
the paramedic replied as he pushed past Tom.
Her doctor is en route as we speak,
Shane informed them as he entered their room. Shane turned to Tom.
The plane carrying my sister and Lark's parents crashed. Lark fainted when we told her. What? That can't be,
Tom answered in disbelief and grief.
Are they okay?
The initial reports say there are no survivors,
Shane solemnly informed him.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe this,
he replied and shook his head in disbelief as the tears formed in his eyes.
Maybe the reports are wrong and they're alive. I'm going to report this to my director and see if we can get some information and help with the search,
he informed him. He was shocked and devastated that his partner was dead.
Thanks. We would appreciate it. By the way, why did you bust in here like that?
Shay asked, confused by the entrance.
Well, Rain asked that we keep an eye on Lark while she was gone.
He nervously stammered, hoping he wouldn't continue to question him anymore.
She was always so overprotective of Lark,
he answered sadly.
Hey, don't give up hope.
They may still be alive. Let me see what I can find out.
Tom smiled and winked as he headed down the hall, motioning to his men to stand down. They all anxiously watched as his paramedics examined her and the baby, with Jace staying by her side.
Her vital signs are normal. We should take it to the hospital as a precaution just in case,
the paramedics advised.
No, that will be a media field day if we do that. She's already under too much stress as it is right now.
Jace refused. The paramedics held smelling salts under her nose and roused her.
What's going on?
Lark asked, embarrassed and feeling uncomfortable with having strangers in her face.
It seems that you passed out, ma'am,
the paramedic informed her.
Is my baby all right?
She worriedly asked.
We think so. Your doctor is on her way here.
I'm going to call Elaine to get her here to handle the media,
Holly replied, taking the phone from her flustered husband and kissed his cheek for comfort before dialing Lark's agent. She hurried down the hall after hearing the doorbell and led the doctor into the room where Lark was located.
The doctor examined Lark and the baby as the paramedics filled her in on her assessment. Well, hello, the doctor calmly replied when she began to examine her. Lark looked at her, then everyone around the room, before she laid her head back against the pillow without saying a word. Lark, how are you feeling? The doctor asked.
How in the hell do you think I should feel? I just lost the love of my life!
Lark asked in an angry, condescending tone. The doctor lowered her head down in sadness and looked back up at her. I'm sorry for your loss, Lark, but you do have a baby to think about, and I have to be concerned for the both of you.
You have done your work now. Leave! Everyone!
Lark angrily demanded and looked at everyone.
I want to be alone,
she softly answered. The group looked at the doctor, who nodded for everyone to clear the room. They all slowly exited the room, stunned by Lark's gruff demands. The doctor was the last person to exit the room and left the door open to monitor Lark from the hall. She took a deep breath, trying to deal with the enormity of everything, and looked at the group gathered before her. She smiled when the paramedics waved that they were leaving and turned her attention to the family. Everything is fine with Lark and the baby, physically. Her vital signs, as well as those of the baby, are strong and normal. She's a very strong and healthy woman in that sense. But emotionally, the doctor paused, she's not well from the news she just received, as I'm sure none of you are either. I'm terribly sorry for your loss. She sincerely and warmly replied before continuing. I'm not qualified to make a diagnosis about her mental state, but from her actions and her passing out, I would say she's in a state of mental shock. The doctor solemnly answered.
So what do we do, Doc?
Jace asked with concern. Make sure she eats and drinks for the benefit of her nourishment, as well as the baby's. Keep an eye out for her for any unusual behavior. I'm going to contact a mental health specialist to speak with her. She soothingly informed them. I'm going to check on her once again. The doctor smiled and entered Lark's room. Lark, I'm sorry to bother you, but I want to check you over once more. The doctor informed her as she approached the bed. Lark didn't acknowledge the doctor's presence as she stared out the window and thought of Rain and her parents. She was in disbelief, shock, and she was devastated. All she could think about was how terrified her loving parents must have been when the plane crashed. She couldn't stand to think of any of the terror and pain they must have felt, knowing that they might die. She desperately wanted to know if they were alive or dead. It pained her deeply to know how terrified Rain had to have been. She didn't feel in her heart that Rain and her parents were dead, though. She didn't want to believe it, and she refused to believe it. The doctor sighed wearily and exited the room. Lark and the baby are fine. I'm going to stick around for a little while to monitor them, she said comfortingly.
Thank you for coming so quickly, Doctor.
Jace answered cordially. I'm sorry for your family's tragedy. If there's anything I can do, please let me know. She sincerely replied.
You're doing plenty right now.
He smiled and lightly patted her shoulder. I need to contact my office and let them know of my whereabouts. She smiled and headed down the hall, flipping on her cell phone. Elaine entered the house in a panic.
Jace, I'm so sorry,
she replied with water eyes and hugged him.
We appreciate you coming,
he stoically answered, closing the door behind her.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be right now,
she solemnly answered and greeted the other family members before slowly entering Lark's room. Lark didn't acknowledge her agent who entered the room, and Elaine's heart fluttered from the blank look that Lark possessed as she lay staring out the window. Elaine slowly approached the side of the bed and warmly smiled when Lark's eyes finally shifted away from the window.
Hi, honey.
She smiled and sat next to Lark on the bed, holding Lark's hand in her own.
I just wanted to come in and let you know that I'm here if you need me for anything,
she comfortably informed her, fighting back the tears that wanted to fall. She had never seen Lark this lifeless, and it hurt her to see Lark that way. She'd always known Lark to be so full of life, and now she looked as if she had lost her soul. Elaine was unable to hold back the tears that fell freely.
I'm sorry, Lark,
she regretfully apologized and wiped away the tears.
Thanks,
Lark softly answered and lightly squeezed her hand.
I'm so sorry all of this happened, sweetheart. I'll take care of all of the arrangements. Do you need me to call any of the family members for you?
Elaine asked. Lark nodded her head no before closing her eyes to avoid any further conversation Elaine attempted to have with her. Elaine kissed her forehead and left the room.
Did she say anything?
Jace asked anxiously.
Just thanks.
Elaine informed them as she wiped away her remaining tears, trying to grasp everything.
I've never seen her like this before. She looks soulless.
Elaine answered in disbelief and trepidation.
We all are.
Maria cried out as fresh tears flowed harder.
Damn, the media's here.
Holly replied disgustedly as she looked out the window.
Well, that's my cue.
Elaine answered, drying her eyes and trying to compose herself before heading out to the wolves. They stopped her at the door and turned her away from everyone else.
The report I received was that the plane crashed over Kosovo after being struck by lightning. There are no signs of survivors at this time, and they won't know for sure until a search party can get to the wrecked site. The weather has been bad at the base in Macedonia, and they've been unable to get a search team out.
Okay, and that's what I'll go with until we hear more.
Elaine smiled and opened the door to the bombardment of flashbulbs, shouting, and microphones being shoved in her face.
Hey, give the lady some room!
Tom shouted and flashed his badge as she stood behind her. She looked over her shoulder and smiled appreciatively, then turned back to the crowd who moved back, but continued to shout.
People, please, have some respect!
She shouted, holding her hands out to calm the barrage.
Will Miss Morgan be giving a statement?
One reporter asked.
No, that's what I'm here for.
She gruffly replied.
Is she too distraught to talk with us?
Obviously. Wouldn't you be, considering what has happened to her? What a stupid question!
Elaine sarcastically asked, burning a hole through the reporter with a stare. She used to dumb ass obvious questions, and usually has tolerance of them, but not today.
Can you confirm that Rain Donovan was on the plane with Congress Morgan and his wife?
Elaine inhaled deeply, fighting her tears in the mention of Rain's name and the fact that she was dead along with Lark's parents. All of Lou were like family to her.
That's what my sources have told me.
Her voice cracked, thick with emotion.
We had reports that Miss Morgan collapsed and is hospitalized. Can you confirm that?
Another reporter asked, shoving the microphone in Elaine's face. She pushed it back before answering.
Your reports are wrong. Miss Morgan is resting here as comfortably as she can.
Why were the paramedics here?
Someone else shouted, interrupting her.
If you'd give me a chance to continue, I'll answer the questions.
Elaine sarcastically answered, flashing a nasty look.
It was a precautionary measure for the well-being of Miss Morgan and her unborn child. The family requests your full cooperation, and they hope that you will respect their privacy, as well as the privacy of Miss Morgan. Thank you.
Elaine informed them, and entered the house as the group continued to shout out questions. She shut the door and leaned against it, breathing deeply to calm herself.
Everyone back off! Move to the sidewalk!
Tom ordered as his agents backed him up. They watched as the group moved away from the house and set up their camps.
Unbelievable. Don't these people have anything else to do than fill people's misery?
Keep an eye out for them.
If they move off that damn sidewalk, arrest them!
He angrily informed his agents before heading back inside.
Thanks, Elaine.
Jace gratefully replied and hugged her. The media onslaught had become extremely overwhelming, with the enormous amount of reporters, TVs, and newscast trucks that littered the street in front of the house. Everyone was sick of hearing news reports after news reports of the crash. The congressman, Julianne Raine's faces were plastered all over the broadcast, one after another report that same horrible thing.
I swear, if that's another report asking for an interview, I'll shoot them!
Jace shouted angrily, heading towards the front door to see who rang the doorbell.
You'd think the Secret Service would do a better job of keeping these people away from here!
Jace replied with mounting agitation at the agents posted around the house.
Jace, have more respect for them.
His father admonished him.
Many are standing guard of their own time out of respect for Rain.
I know.
He inhaled and felt bad about what he said.
I'm just frustrated about all that's happening. I'm sorry.
He sincerely apologized and opened the door.
Yes? Oh, Senator Abercrombie, come in.
He cordially replied, changing his demeanor as he held the door open. The senator had made it his personal agenda to help find his very good friend, Congressman Morgan, and his wife and Rain.
Hello.
He replied grimly and entered the house, taking a seat in the chair to inform the family of the news he had.
I'm sorry to have to tell you all this, but the military has suspended the search.
Maria gasped in horror, her last bit of hope of the search team quickly finding them extinguished, and lay her head on her husband's chest, sobbing. She knew the longer it took the team to get to the group, the worse it was for them. He comforted her as best he could, despite the tears that flowed of his own. Holly and Shane gripped each other's hands for support, crying as well.
Damn it! Why'd they suspend the search?
Jace angrily asked, hoping his stubborn sister would be too damn ornery to die in a plane crash, and that the search team would have found them by now. He had been holding the family together through the crisis, much to everyone's surprise. He had taken control of everything, and made his point to make sure Lark was well taken care of. Jace had felt it was his duty to monitor Lark,
After all, it was his child that Lark carried, and he did make a promise to Rain to do so if anything happened to her.
I'm sorry. The weather is bad, and they're having trouble accessing the crash site, as the terrain is treacherous, not to mention the area hostile with renegades and Serbian troops. They are forming a covert team to head into the area to locate the crash site and to hopefully recover the dead. The high-altitude recon plane flew over and took pictures of the crash site, indicating the plane exploded, and there wasn't much left of the crash site. I'm very sorry for being so blunt, but I thought you used to know the truth.
We appreciate that, and we'd be grateful if you stayed on top of the military to continue the search. I've been in contact with various department heads to see if they can put pressure on them to step up the search effort, as well as my son, and the Secret Service. Maybe we can get a fire lit under their asses to do something sooner.
Rain's father informed him.
The more help, the better. If the weather would clear up in that area, they would head out. How's Lark doing?
The senator asked, concerned.
Not good. She barely eats or sleeps. She sits in a room looking at photos of Rain and her parents. She's become very withdrawn, and she won't talk to anyone other than one-word responses. The psychologist contacted can't even get through to her. She's very traumatized over everything that has happened, and is yet to grieve for her loss.
Jace explained sadly.
I assumed she would be. After all, she lost her immediate family. I take it she hasn't mentioned memorial burial plans for her parents.
Jace lowers his head, and did his family the finality of a statement, as it hit them.
No. She hasn't. I suppose we could talk with her and see what her wishes are.
Jace solemnly answered, wiping the tears away that filled his blue eyes.
I think it might be too soon to consider those plans, but I will talk with her later.
Okay.
The senator nodded sadly.
Please let me know if there's anything else I can do to help.
He offered and stood up, shaking Jace's hands.
Thank you.
He smiled and he walked the senator to the door, which exited.
Someone should tell Lark that the latest development is with everything.
Jace replied sadly and looked at his family, who were all too distraught to say anything.
I guess I'll talk to her then.
Jace softly and reluctantly answered. He was afraid of the kind of toll it was going to take on Lark, but she needed to know. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 141 of XNU, and that is chapters 19 and 20 of Ab Initio by Cruz. As you can tell, we are getting closer and closer to the end of the series, which will, of course, then lead into the next one, which I am not going to announce at this point, because we still have probably two more shows left to do on this one. The good news I do have is part one. I have a recipe being that has been sent in, so check over at the Traveling Barge Recipe Corner to check out another recipe sent in by Vanessa, so I want to thank Vanessa for that. It's a Mediterranean torta. So, yeah, it sounds and it looks good, so check it on out over there. And the actual second part, which is the better part, obviously, by my end of the secret, is that I finished writing my second novel, or second story, and I will be posting it. So, not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to check the blog spot and check the link out, but I'll have it there for you. It probably won't be this episode, because it does take a few days for it to get published and stuff, so, but hopefully it will be there. Just keep checking the blog spot out this week for when the actual link will be up. So that's it for this week's story. If anyone can please send in some more recipes. I mean, one every 2 or 3 months is kind of slack. So, but please, people, send in some recipes, send in some announcements, send in some book suggestions or story suggestions, or just send in an email saying, hey, thanks for the good job, you know, and hi, and hope everything's going well. Hint, hint. So, until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life, and live. Bye-bye.